All right. So I don't know where you're reading. I'm in Luke, Nehemiah, Leviticus. And, yeah, I'm all over the place. And Revelation, the book of Revelation. But for this past week, I mean, the thing about reading the Bible, or if you're reading through in a year, it doesn't matter what, it's not about, you know, all that. But however you're reading, the beautiful thing about it is actually taking in the Word of God, because you will read something that you hadn't read in a while. And you'll say to yourself, oh, wow. Yeah, I hadn't heard that in a while. I'm glad I was reminded of that. So with that in mind, the first thing I'm going to share from, the first chapter, rather, is Luke chapter 10. That's where we get the story of the Good Samaritan, the 70 being sent out by Jesus and returning. But I want to look at verse 38. Luke chapter 10 for our first little sermonette, if you will. Luke 10, verse 38 reads, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village." And, you know, I see this often in the scriptures. Jesus enters a certain village. And you have to know, whenever Jesus comes in, I don't care where it's at. When Jesus enters, things are about to change. Okay? And so Jesus enters a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now, as Martha, you and I welcome Jesus into our house, right? I mean, he said, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and sup with him." And so, in a way, we are the house of God. This is, and we've welcomed him into our house. And so it says that she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, what's interesting about that is that when the rabbis would teach, and the woman's place in that time in history was in the kitchen. The woman's place was in the place of service, in a menial task and so forth. A woman would not be found sitting at the foot of a rabbi. Amen. But here we see Mary. She is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him teach. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And I'm sure you've heard this taught on before. And, you know, pastors will say, which one do you identify with, Mary or Martha? And us spiritual, real spiritual ones, or spiritual wannabes. Come on now. Spiritual wannabes will say, well, I fall into Mary's camp. The truth be told, Martha and Mary represent us, period. Both of we have a little bit of Martha in us, and we have Mary in us. I can show you when you go to pray. Whenever you sit down to pray, Martha shows up. Whenever you sit down to pray, you look around the room, says, this needs to be done, that needs to be done, because the devil trying to tempt you out of praying. And it comes, they're trying to distract you, and everything in the world comes up in your mind. Oh, I need to send that email, I need to do this, I need to do that. No. What you need to do is pray. But the Martha is coming up, just like Jesus is sitting here and he's teaching and he's bringing the word. Now, make no mistake about it. The important thing here is Jesus Christ and his words, right? So Martha was distracted with much serving. Let me ask us, are we distracted with much serving when it comes to the word of God? Some people say, well, no, I'm not distracted. I'm just doing nothing, you know. Well, that's a distraction. What is it? You know, what is it that gets in our way when it comes to hearing the word of God? Because Martha's not alone. Hello? Martha's not all by herself in this. And so Martha was distracted with much serving, but she wasn't content about it. So watch this. She approached Jesus. Now, Jesus is teaching the word. He's laying down truths. He's revealing who he is. And Martha has the gall. I mean, just think about it. Jesus. So she approached him and said, Lord, Do you not care? Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Now, we know 1 Peter 5 says, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Jesus knows all about our troubles, the song says, right? No, not one. And but Martha says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? In other words, Martha wasn't content to carry her concerns alone. We have to be careful, because Martha now is about to roll her cares over on Jesus. Oh, wait a second. But this isn't what the Lord meant, though. This is what 1 Peter was saying, was casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's not what Peter was talking about. Not here. She was going to distract Jesus from teaching the word so that he could take up her burdens. When actually what's going on, listening to Jesus Christ teach will relieve you of your burdens. Hello. And so, but she's stopping Jesus and saying, don't you care, Lord? So she's going to roll her care over on Christ and over onto Mary. And we have to be careful that not only do we not do that, but that we don't allow other people to do that. You say other people, and I'm not necessarily talking about people in your house. I'm talking about people on the radio, people on the internet, people on television, people on, come on, you name it. They're the people nonetheless. And so when we go to listen to this and look at that and take in all of this, but the word of God sits idly by. Then when the problem comes, we go, Lord, help me. I need a word. You need a word? I've been trying to give you a word for the last 2 weeks, but I can't get one word by you because, hello, you're distracted by every other word out there. Hello, come on, church. So she said, so now she's going to instruct Jesus. She questions him. She approaches him. She questions him. And then she instructs, therefore, Lord, tell her to help me. Oh, my goodness. Now, if I ever see, come on, have we ever been there? You going through something and you get in prayer. You're like, Lord, don't you care? Lord, make this happen. And all of a sudden, we telling him what to do. Oh, my goodness. Now, let me say, that's a real rough place to be in. That's a real rough. Listen. Okay, so here's the way it usually works. When we find ourselves in the place of telling God what to do, it's because we've already missed what he wants us to do. See, Mary had already provided an example for Martha. Martha, here's where you need to be. Where Mary at? I'm going to show you in a second. Where Mary at? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. But because Martha too busy, she can't listen to that. So now she's busy up in her thing, and she's telling the Lord what to do. Tell my sister to help me, Jesus. You know that's what needs. That's the right thing to do. You need to tell her to help me. So now we got the tail wagging the dog. Bad example. Sorry. Bad metaphor. We got the creation telling the creator what to do. Verse 41. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. Jesus is so loving and he is so kind. He's so beautiful. I'm sure you'll raise your hand with me or your heart when I say this. He has never once yelled at me, disrespected me, never once made me feel less than what he made me to be. Never once. He's the creator of the universe, and he says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. How many times we find ourselves there? Worried and troubled about many things. I was there the other week. I was at work. You know how you have one of those days where everything breaks? Everything goes the wrong way? Let me tell you, I believe those days are designed to put you at his feet. I believe those days are designed to put you at his feet. But where we want to go is into our flesh and not at his feet. And I remember I was telling Daphne, I said, you know, multiple things broke at work. The check engine light came on my truck. I had a reel that winds itself up. It's an electric reel, this 2-inch hose, huge hose, winds it up. The thing broke. I didn't know what happened. It broke. So I'm winding the thing up all week long by hand. And at the end of the week, my shoulder starts to hurt. And I'm like, and then so that needs to be fixed. Multiple things broke. I got all this work. Then my check engine light comes on the truck. And then at home, the HVAC system goes south. It's leaking water. And I remember being at work, and I was loading my truck, and I said, Jesus, I said, there is so much going wrong. I was just like, no, I wasn't to the point where I was telling him what to do, but I was to the point, I was like, Father, I really need your help. I really need your help because I got things at work, at home, everything's going the wrong. It's so much pressure. It's a lot of pressure, burden. And so that was on a Friday. And so Saturday, the next day, I went, popped the hood on my truck, and I saw this little red orange wire, and I pulled it. And I checked my transmission fluid, shut the hood, started the truck, and the check engine light went off. And from that day to this, check engine light been off. And see, and so while I get here and praise God like a fool, oh, Jesus, why I cry, boo-hooing in tears, and because I'm sitting here like, Jesus, thank you. Man, woo. And then I went to work, and the reel that was broken, 20-cent fuse. Glory to God. I just put the fuse in, and it's working again. I said, oh, wait a second, Jesus. Oh. Then you say, but that would have happened anyhow. Well, but for the Christian, it's recognizing that when you cry out to God first, he gets the glory and not you. So you get to give him all the thanks and the praise, which is the way, even if you do it without him, it's still him because he's giving you the strength. Come on, he's giving you the breath to draw in. Problem with us is that we don't recognize that on a daily basis. Listen at what Jesus said. One thing is needful. Now watch this. He says, but one thing is needful. That is juxtaposed or compared with Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Jesus said one thing is needful. Listen, we have a lot of things we are concerned about, troubled about, worried about. Is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? Every time I think about this young lady right here, I think about Melody. When I think about, there's so many people, when I look at their life, Loretta's not here. When I think about Loretta, my God. When you go back with someone and you know what they're doing, just seeing this brother right here, just seeing this man sitting here, oh my, because we go back 30 plus years. When I think about that, every time I see you, Tim, I say, this is the word I hear from God. I'm faithful. That's what I hear. God is faithful. He's cared for you all these years. When I look at Melanie, when Melanie came in here and said, I'm going to school. I need help for school. I need this. I need that. I need a place to stay. I need this. And I see her every time I see her. I say, oh, God, you're faithful. Look, she's here. You're caring for her. You're providing for her. You're doing all of this. I just give you praise. I just give you thanks. When Cracker and Mommy came over yesterday and we spent time together, and I think about all the goodness, all the things God has done. It's just faith. He's faithful. One thing is needed. One thing. We worried about many things. And Jesus said, Martha, you know all this serving you're doing, Martha. Oh, it's great. People going to eat and everything. But you know what? You're not going to die if you don't get this meal that month. You're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. Tori and I were talking yesterday. and we were talking and she was telling me how she didn't sleep. Whenever it was, the other day, she didn't sleep real good, so she was up all night. And I was communicating with her as a man in my 50s, to get used to it, you know, because every now and again, is there anybody in here, you have slept every night of your life, bar none. You have slept every night through. You have never been up awake at night in the middle of the night. Is anybody here? I would venture to say if you asked anybody on the planet, and I was telling Tori, the book of Job, Job talks about it. He holds my eyes awake at night. David talked about it. King David talked about it. He says, I make my bed swim with my tears. He says, I'm up all night crying and grieving. And come on, they talked about it. There are times when you don't sleep. Guess what? You're not going to die if you don't get one night's sleep. I know you think you are, but you're not going to die. So I'm talking to my daughter. I'm like, sugar, you going to be, but dad, I'm tired. I want to go to sleep. I said, I know. I understand. But you know what? I was sharing with her. I was talking to somebody else about this. I don't know who it was. And the thought came to my mind. What if, because I always tell my family, if you can't sleep, it means it's time to intercede. There's a reason why you're up. Now, you don't have to know what the reason is. This, I'm going to tell you, this is my understanding. This is how I do it, okay? I'm up because there's a reason why I'm up. And what if the reason why I'm up is me? What if the reason why I'm up is because I need to pray about something that's going to happen down the road in my future? Because God is standing in the middle of my day. He said, and he sees what's coming. Remember what Jesus said to Peter? He says, Peter, come with me. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. And he said, and Jesus went away and he went away into prayer. What did Peter, James, and John do? They went to sleep. That night, Jesus didn't sleep. Jesus was up all night in prayer. When the time of temptation came, Peter fell. Wham! Went hard. Jesus made it through. Why? Because he was up praying to his Father. Sometimes when we can't sleep at night, sometimes it's for other people. Sometimes it's intercession and you pray. But sometimes it's for you. So guess what? When you see it that way, those sleepless nights don't look all that bad anymore, do they? I know a couple of weeks ago, I was up, couldn't sleep. I went downstairs, got into prayer, into the Word, and went and fixed my attitude, because I work a labor intensive job. When I don't get any sleep, I'm not saying it's not bad when you don't get any sleep. But let me tell you, when I don't get any sleep, it's a little different. It's a little different. But as long as I'm moving, I'm good. And so I prayed, trusted God, and believed God, and I had a glorious day. Amen. Even in the midst of it. So Jesus said, one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part. Listen, we all know this, but to hear the word of God, you got to choose it. Mary has chosen that good part. What are we choosing? What are we choosing? This is not to condemn. Jesus wasn't saying it to condemn. He was just letting Martha know. Martha, understand, you're concerned about all these things, but what is needful, Mary has chosen, and I am not going to take it away from her. I'm not going to do it, Mary or Martha. And so when I read that, like, I don't know when it was, a few days ago, that just leapt into my spirit, you know, about the Word of God and where its place is in our life. One thing is needful. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are before. You see, the one thing. Jesus said, this one thing is needful. And let me tell you, the word of God is needful, because Moses said in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, the man does not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And the word of God is needful for you and I to live. You say, no, if I read my Bible, that's not what I'm talking about. We know that. It's not necessary for us to live physically. But we're not just physical beings. We're spiritual beings. And for us to live spiritually, we need the word of God, the food of God. Amen? And so I want to encourage you, as I encourage myself in the Lord, I want to encourage you to make time, be deliberate. Take time and choose, set aside time where you turn off the television, turn off the radio, turn off the computer, internet, all the other things, and crack open the book, blow cobwebs fly fleeing across the room, just having fun. But blow and crack open the book and just set your eyes down on the Word of God. Read it. Read it. Why? Because Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen? Sermonette one. I got plenty to say. I read the book a lot. I love this book. And there's so much in here for us. Okay, the second, same book, Book of Luke. But we're today, or rather this time, we're going to go to chapter 7. Chapter 7. And because the Bible is full of revelations of who Jesus is. And this story, to sum it up, is that Jesus, when he comes into your life, he alters your destiny. When Jesus comes into your life, he alters your destiny. Is that true? If it weren't for Christ, none of us would even know each other today. Not any of us. We would not know each other. Why is that? Because our destinies were headed in different directions. Now, there's one place we probably would have ended up where we may have known each other come, you know, way down the line, because we were all headed to that same place. But unlike people say, you know, these sinners who think hell is a joke and they say we're going to have a party in hell. Mm-hmm. There's no parties there. There's no parties. Luke chapter 7, we'll start in verse 11. Now, what happened the day after that he, Jesus, went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. So now I want you to get this picture. Here comes Jesus, large crowd of people with him and his disciples coming into the city. And then here comes this woman with her son and a large crowd of people coming out of the city. And so they're meeting at the city gate, two crowds, Jesus in a crowd, her and her crowd. Now, we don't know what, well, yes, we do, but if we were to read this in the time that it was written, we don't know what Jesus was coming to this city to do. We don't know, probably to teach or to have a meal with someone, so forth and so on. But we do know where this woman was headed. We know where they were going, okay? And so the scripture says, verse 13, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Now, when you go to a funeral and people are weeping, the one thing you do not tell them is don't cry. Don't weep. Although I've seen it done where people were, and it was Christians, where Christians were, you know, trying to get people not to be emotional about the person that they had lost, howbeit it wasn't their person that they had lost. Come on, be a little different. And so, but Jesus goes up to her and says, do not weep. And we always say that people, you know, sometimes people lose their mind when in grieving situations, they don't know what to say at some time with funerals and things like this. But that's not the case with Jesus. Jesus knows exactly what he's saying. Not only does he know exactly what he's saying, he is going to do something to back up what he said. And this is what he said. He said, do not weep. Do not weep. Now, for any other person to say that, it would be crazy. Are you out of your mind? Verse 14 says, then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. I love this. Because they were marching to a sure destiny. They were on their way to a place where they knew exactly where they were going. They knew exactly what was going to happen. And they were simply, and they'd seen it done hundreds and thousands of times before. And they were marching to this destiny. But when Jesus comes into your life, your march towards your destiny stops. The march toward where you are heading immediately stopped. When Christ came into my life on September 4th, 1983, at 4 o'clock in Oxon Hill, Maryland, my death, it stopped that moment, that day, and everything changed. Everything changed. Because what this story is relating to us, because this story is emblematic of everyone or anyone, every sinner who was dead in Christ. Or excuse me, not dead in Christ, but was dead in sins. As this man was. We were dead in sins. We were headed to a Christless eternity. That was our destiny. Jesus says to her, do not weep. And he touches the open coffin. And those who carried him understood it is time for us to stop the progress in the destiny of this young man. And he said, Jesus said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Now, Jesus is the only one who has ever existed who could say a thing and back up everything that he says. He could say a thing and make it come to pass. He could promise anything and make it happen. None of us could ever do that. So when he said to the mother, do not weep, I'm sure she didn't know what to make of it, but she knew who was saying it to her. Because you had Jesus, this rabbi, with this huge crowd following him. And I'm sure she had heard of him. And so she waited, and those words, do not weep, became a reality for this woman. Because her son, who was dead, sits up and begins to speak. And the scripture says, then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. Now, in this story, Jesus stops the progress of a man to his destiny. This young man had lived his life, died of whatever reason, we don't know. But Jesus spoke to the dead man and caused him to come to life. And now, because he is alive, the place where they were headed, they're not headed there anymore. How many of you think that they kept going on to the burial site? No. Jesus stopped them in their tracks, and where they were headed, the crowd, the two crowds that met together became one crowd, and that crowd now turned around, and both this huge crowd headed back into the city as one crowd. Jesus didn't only stop the destiny of one person. Jesus stopped the destiny of a whole crowd, because this whole crowd was going with her to bury her son, and that whole crowd stopped, turned around. Talked about giving glory to God and the great things that they had seen. And they went back into the city, and their mourning had now been turned to dancing. He said, he has put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. And so that Psalm 30 was actually realized that day for these people. And so instead of mourning and depression and grieving, they turned around skipping and dancing. Can you imagine? The young man must have jumped out the coffin and started talking. Hey, 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 what happened? I'm alive. Hey, go. And they're going into the city rejoicing and dancing. But there's so much that, there's so much that goes with this that I don't even have time to get into and break down. But let me put this out to you. I'm reading the book of Leviticus. as well as the book of Luke. When you touched a dead body, or you touched a coffin that a dead person had lain in, you were declared unclean. You had to wash your clothes and wash your body and be unclean. When I was a dead person, you had to be unclean 7 days. When men came back from battle, from fighting in the war, they couldn't just run up to their family. They had to stay and go through ritual cleansing. So here's thoughts that crossed my mind. Jesus raised this man from the dead. So are those boys who were carrying him clean or unclean? Just thinking. I know that doesn't. But the ceremonial law said, well, you know, if they were going to keep the ceremonial law, I said, okay, Jesus, what do we do with it? I bet you they didn't care. They just went in. Woo! Glory to God. He's alive, you know. So much happened. When Jesus did this, there was so much that was impacted. On the ceremonial level, it would just be off the charts. And this is why the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes and the elders, they were so furious with him. They were furious with him. Because he did things that no one else could do. Right? And he called himself the Son of God, the Son of Man. But everywhere Jesus went, he altered destinies. Everywhere he went. Hebrews 13 says, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Guess what? Everywhere he goes today, he's changing destinies. He's changing destinies. And so that's my prayer as I'm reading this scripture. I think about the goodness of our Lord. Psalm 74, verse 12, I believe it says, David said, God is my king of all, working salvation in the midst of the earth. He's working salvation all throughout the earth. In every nation, bringing people to himself, changing destinies so that people might not die but live and know the love of God towards them. And so this report went about him, this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. So that wherever Jesus went, people recognized him. Large crowds followed him. Why? Because they saw a dead man raised, go back into the city with his mother. They saw blind men's eyes opened. They saw cripples get up. The blind who were blind from death receive their sight. And when those people had all those things happen to them, their destinies changed. Because when you were blind, you were destined to be a beggar all the days of your life, depend on the handouts of people, not have anything to contribute to society, and you were just confined to being a beggar. But because Christ came their way, their destiny was changed. And he who changed destinies then is changing them today. And my prayer is that we would see many more people come to meet Christ and have their lives changed. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for the love of God that was demonstrated us through Christ, that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And Father, we pray, Lord, that we would be your witnesses, full of the Spirit, Lord, and that we would tell as many, that we would preach the gospel, Lord, and we will let as many know as would hear the goodness of the grace of God that you've brought to us. And we pray that so many hearts, oh God, would be humbled and would receive the word of the Lord, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they would be saved, that their destiny would be changed, Lord, from eternal death to eternal life. We ask this in the matchless and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you.